Welcome to the Scholarship Chat Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Hill. Here we talk about the scholarship tips, tools, and strategies that you need to fund your dream career. Let's get started.
And I want to welcome you to another edition of the Scholarship Chat episode. I'm so excited today. We're going to be talking to an expert. Her name is Dade. So, Dade, welcome to the Scholarship Chat Podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So please introduce yourself and what you do.
Well, my name is Dade, Dade Akindude. I am originally from New York City. My background, my parents immigrated to the United States from Nigeria and, attempt to make a better life for themselves and for their families. So I'm one of eight children, and all of us, with the exception of the last one who was about to start college, all of us went to college, all of us graduated college, and we are all in the process of just doing our respective work. I am currently 8 years in education now, and I started my company, Love Well Spent, which is focused primarily on philanthropy in education. And so I started helping people with their admissions processes, particularly grad students. And here I am.
I love it. I love the fact that, like you said, your parents immigrated over here to make a better life for you guys. And I love that everyone has finished college and is in their field. And then, of course, I know your youngest sibling is next. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. So I know you said your background is in education, but what kind of led you to make the jump into owning your own company?
So while I loved being in education, I was a K through 12 educator. I taught ELA and history to middle schoolers and high schoolers, and I loved it. I loved what I learned. I loved everything about it. However, I felt like I still wanted more. I knew that being in the classroom was always going to be temporary for me, and I'm somewhat adventurous. I love exploring new things, new ideas, and I didn't feel like I could do that in the classroom all the time. So it was always temporary for me. And so prior to that, I helped a couple of people in my church with their college applications. And I realized that, people just kept sending their kids to me to help them with their applications. And so I was like, well, maybe I should think about this full time and think about, helping people. And what really inspired me to go into it full time was the fact that the reason people needed the help was because not because they didn't know what to do per se, but the college admissions process is extremely convoluted if you don't know what you're doing. And so I thought it would be very valuable to aid, families that were just like my parents who had come to this country for a better life, want to send their children to college, and just got overwhelmed by that whole process. And so, I would have like mothers come to me and say, please help my daughter get into college. Like, she didn't even know like really what she was asking, but she was just like, please help my daughter get into college. And so I would have like 5-6 people in my house sitting at my dining table, while the rest of my family is just walking around, and I'm sitting there like helping with essays and looking up schools, asking them, what do you want to do and things like that. So it was very organic for me to make that transition. And I was very, I'm very excited to, meet people and hear their stories and become a part of this very important decision in their life.
It is. And you know what? I love what you just shared, the fact that it was so organic. And you know what? It's interesting. I know that, you started off your education career in the classroom, but it's kind of like now your classroom is global in a sense, because now you have students everywhere.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
A bigger classroom.
That's even more exciting, more stories to hear.
Exactly. And, it's like you said, this is not the easiest process. I went through it twice, you know, as well, and it's just, it's so amazing that we have resources and people like you, because actually, background story, that's how I found you online. I was on Instagram, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So so I'm so glad that you decided to take that leap.
Thank you. Thank you.
So my next question is, so we're talking about the application. So for someone that's listening, a student, maybe they're headed off to medical school, law school, some form of graduate school, but how do college admissions staff, how do they use an applicant's personal statement to determine who's admitted into their program?
So I always tell the people that I work with, I always tell them that your application is the only thing that you have to really represent you in this process, in the admissions process. And the staff, they, what they see is whatever's on your application. So, you know, we have the actual application, your resume, your personal statement, maybe a supplemental statement that they ask, and then whatever documentation they might ask for that's extra. However, everybody submits at least three of those things. Everyone submits an application, everyone submits a personal statement, and everyone submits perhaps their resume or something like it. And what I tell people is that when you are writing your personal statement, I want you to think of it as your physical presence being in the room when they're reviewing your application, because it is the only thing that distinguishes you from the thousands of other applicants that are applying. For example, you have student A, let's say they go to, they're from a high school in New York City. Well, there are millions of students that go to high schools in New York City that share that same trait with you. And then what else? Your GPA, that's also a trait that everyone shares with you. Your, maybe your employment history might be a little different, but still there are people that you worked with. So that's also a shared thing. But your personal statement, I believe that's why it's called a personal statement. Your personal statement is basically your fingerprint on your application, on your admissions application. No one has the same experiences as you. You, if you're a twin, you and your twin sister can have completely different experiences, even if you go through the same things. And so your personal statement is literally the differentiating factor between you and every single application that the staff sees. So when I talk about your personal statement with people, I really try to emphasize that, like, you are physically telling your the admissions committee about yourself, something that you want to wow them with, something that you want to truly let them know that you are not like everybody else. And it's important. It's very, very important. I believe admissions committees, they have, like, these computer-generated programs that, you know, if your GPA doesn't match a cut, if you're geographical, whatever else they consider, they cut. They have the computer do the cutting, but then they are left with a stack of personal statements that they personally read. And so your personal statement has to do it for you. It has to speak for you because you're not physically in the room.
I like that. I was taking some notes. I love what you said, that it's your fingerprint. It's the one thing that separates you from everyone else. So so thank you for sharing that. That's really good information. So kind of on that same vein now, what is the biggest mistake that graduate students make when they're writing their personal statement?
So I have, I have so many pet peeves when it comes to graduate to personal statements, but I'll try to be as general as possible and still be, you know. So one thing I think that is very common is that people try to be someone they're not in their personal statement. They try to come off as either, like, completely interesting and it's like it goes off, or they come off as, like, or they downplay themselves and they, you know, downplay their experiences. And what, like I said before, like, what they need to understand is it is you in the room, your personality, your experiences, what you've learned, what you haven't learned, whatever. The most, why are you applying to our school? There are millions of options for you. Why are you choosing this school? What is so special about this field that you're so drawn to? why do you want us to consider you for this program? And that's a very important, I think that's the most important part of your application. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of grad applicants don't understand that being authentic is extremely valuable. Being mm-hmm. yourself is extremely valuable. When you try to model your personal statement to sound like something you're not, you might make a mistake and sound like someone else who's already applying, or you mm-hmm. know, you're not being true to yourself, or I sometimes have people that they don't know what to write, and then after mm-hmm. I have like a 5-minute conversation with them, I'm like blown away at how interesting they are. Like, what do you mean you don't have mm-hmm. anything to write? You're like amazing. And mm-hmm. so, like, it's always those two ends of the spectrum where this person is pretty much lying and this other person mm-hmm. is just downplaying their skills, downplaying their experiences. And it's just like, mm-hmm. come on. Like, you know, so I think one of the biggest mistakes that grad school students make when they're applying is that, you know, not understanding the value of their story, not understanding mm-hmm. the value of their experiences and the story that needs to be told about what their purpose is for taking this
I
step.
Love that. Yes, I love it. I understand their value. And I want to throw this out there as well for those that are listening. I think another kind of in that same vein is that, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so if you're listening and you've never written a personal statement, even if this is your second degree, I believe it's important to get support. And so that's why I wanted to bring Dade on here to share some of these insights, just to give you guys a view of, you know, what it would be like to be working with her on a, you know, one-on-one, a personal situation. But it's also important to get that support too.
Yeah.
Definitely. So now switching gears a little bit to international students, because, you know, we may have some international students listening that are wanting to study in the U.S. and they're looking at their various programs. What should they keep in mind when writing their personal statement?
So one of the interesting things about being an international student, now, first of all, I would say if English is not your first language and, you know, some and I'm just from talking to people who English is not their first language, some mm-hmm. of our colloquialism, some of our nuances get lost on them mm-hmm. when in just in conversation. So I think for international students, it's important to be first and foremost, gauge your comfortability writing in English because, you know, English is the national language here and mm-hmm. not everybody's willing to, you know, depending on the program, every situation is different. But my advice would be read children's books. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, reading an English-written children's book is extremely helpful. And practicing, you know, conveying your ideas and stories in English through children's books is actually very, very helpful in just being as basic as possible. And I would give the same advice to international students. International students sometimes also try to make themselves sound like they, you know, I want to be American or I want to go to school mm-hmm. here. So let me paint this picture of myself and not give too much of my nationality in it. And I would mm-hmm. say, push it, man. Like that's a great value. Like, what was your mm-hmm. experience going outside, I mean, growing up outside of this country that you're trying to attend school? What they want to know what you're going to bring to their student body in that program. So mm-hmm. the more diverse and the more unique your experience is, the better. And when it comes to the opposite end, you know, some international students are like very, like they come across maybe too strong when it comes to mm-hmm. their global view because, you know, America is in a funny place right now with the world. So,
right.
you know, sometimes that comes across too and you want to be careful with that as well. But I think the same rules apply to international students, that uniqueness, that distinctiveness in your application and your personal statement, don't downplay it. Don't lose it. Why did you not choose to go to school in your country's in your native mm-hmm. country? Like, why didn't you choose a program that's in your native country? Well, you know, maybe they don't have as many resources. Well, what value would an education outside of your country bring? Like, do you want to go back and help out in your country? That's why you're seeking this program. Mention that. Like, be very honest about your intentions in applying for a program that's not in your home country. I don't
I
know
love
if
that.
I've
and
got enough.
Yes, you captured it perfectly. And you know what? When you said read children's books, I kind of laughed a little bit inside because when I was so side story, when right after I graduated with my bachelor's, I went over to Scotland and just kind of like get away. And I know that sounds really random, like why would somebody go across the world? But it's so funny. I ran into someone. I was in the train station, and she was Polish, trying to learn English, and she had a stack of children's books, and she was an adult.
Yeah.
And she said somebody gave her that advice, and she was just saying how much her English had improved in just 12 months from reading children's books.
Yeah, it's very valuable. It's very valuable. I did
it
that
is,
when I was trying to learn French. When I first started learning French, I just picked up a bunch of like children's books. I was listening to their like little nursery rhymes and like songs and watching their children's videos. Like, it's very helpful.
Yes. And are you fluent now in French?
Oh man, I was, and it's been a while.
Okay.
You speak to me, I understand everything you're saying, but I haven't been consistently practicing. So hopefully that's another goal I can work on again.
Yeah, and now, you know, I think that's a great tip for someone that's listening, that's wanting to learn another language, too, is to pick up some children's books in that language as well.
So
we've been talking, and it's so amazing how time flies by. I've been jotting notes down like crazy that you've been sharing some amazing nuggets. So I hope everyone is catching those. But I want to kind of, well, you know what, before I get into my last question, I'm going to add a little middle question. And, like, if somebody, like, if you could kind of sum up, what would be, like, your parting words or final thoughts on how to really tackle this personal statement?
One thing that people struggle with is that they don't know what to write. And they get really bogged down by it. Weeks can go by, and then they're scrambling at the last minute when the application's due because they didn't know what to write. My advice is to write something, anything. One of the greatest pieces of advice I've heard in regards to writing a personal statement is, if you don't know what to write, write a letter to yourself after you've graduated from that program. And talk about what you expect, or what, like, the person you are, and what you did with that degree, and things like that. Like, kind of just take yourself out of it and write about yourself objectively. Write a letter to your future self and talk about your experiences, what your expectations are from the program. And before you know it, you'll just start flowing, you know, and things will just start coming to you. But if you don't write anything, you know the saying, it's hard to edit a blank page. If you don't write anything, then there's no way you'll have anything. So, write something. Write something. There's no story too sad, too boring. There's no such thing. It can always be tweaked. How you tell a story can always be tweaked. Just write something.
I like it. That was some great parting words. And so now, and for those that are listening, that day is obviously not only giving us expert insights into writing the personal statement, but this is, as she mentioned earlier, part of the services and packages that she offers. So, Dade, if you can tell us about your services, and also how can students, and if their parents are assisting with paying, how can they get in contact with you to work with you?
Awesome. Well, I am very active on Instagram, at LoveWellSpent. My services, primarily do grad school admissions coaching, but obviously I'm open to doing college. I take some college cases every month, some undergraduate college cases every month. I offer personal statement services and admissions counseling. If you visit lovewellspent.org, all of the information about my services are listed there. I also do workshops. I can come to a school program and just do a workshop and have people at least get them started or get feedback. I'm very big on feedback. I think feedback is extremely valuable when it comes mm-hmm. to writing and the writing process in general. I love doing workshops with people and helping them get that personal statement done, because that's usually what holds up your application.
Yes,
if you visit lovewellspent.org, all of my services are listed there. Instagram at lovewellspent, Twitter at lovewellspent_. But if you type in lovewellspent, I'm sure it'll come up. And yeah, I would love messages. Just contact me. If you'd like to email, I'm at dolifewell@lovewellspent.org. dolifewell@lovewellspent.org. Yeah.
I love it. And guys, let me say this, for those that are listening, like Daddy just mentioned, sometimes this is what holds up the application. So if you're listening, and even if you say, well, I've got 6 months, that's okay. Go ahead and reach out, get your statement, personal statement reviewed. And even Daddy, she has another package, because I was on her website. She has another package where if you need help throughout that process, she can help you with that as well. So definitely take advantage of her and her services. She's a great resource. And also, I think it's a plus that she taught ELA. So if you have issues with grammar, syntax, the flow of your personal statement, you've got a built-in English teacher. So
that's a big thing. And let me tell you, it's amazing, because at first when I started teaching ELA, I thought it was going to be so boring. And I was just like, all right, let me just see how this is. But it challenged me. It challenged me mm-hmm. in my writing. It challenged me in how I read and how I read people telling their stories. Because, you know, part of it is you also want to preserve someone's voice when they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some things, you know, just you want it to be as genuine as possible. But grammar matters. Spelling matters. I'm so mm-hmm. anal about spelling and grammar. And so, yeah, I am an English teacher.
Yes, and you know, I love it, because even for me on the scholarship side, I from time to time judge as well to kind of keep my skills sharp, and I hear that when we look at applicants, I mean, everything else can be in order. They could, you know, their other things in their application looks okay, but then we get to that essay and we start seeing words that are misspelled, and it just puts a bad taste in our mouth.
Yeah, and again, so, that matters to the admissions committee, because it's your fingerprint.
Yes. And you don't want to give the wrong impression, because that, as you mentioned earlier, that's your fingerprint. That's you in the room.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You definitely want to do that. So, yes, guys. And, guys, don't worry. I will have all of Dade's social media links. Her website will be at the bottom here once I put this on the website, once all the editing is done. And also, I'm excited for those that are listening. If you will be a part of my program, then you'll be working with Dade as well. So me and her chatted a few days ago. So she's coming on to do some amazing stuff. So we've kind of collaborated. So if you're inside of my program, you'll also be working with Dade as well. So we'll share details about that. I'll put that on the website as well. But with that being said, Dade, thank you so much for an amazing interview. I've learned a lot. I know those that are listening and will listen in the future will learn a lot as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast episode. To learn more about how you can use your talents and achievements to find and win scholarships in less time, visit my website, which is www.collegeprepready.com. Also, follow me on Facebook at Prep4College. That's Prep4College. Now take care, and I look forward to bringing you more scholarship search tools, tips, and strategies in our next podcast episode. Goodbye.